Blog Talk Radio.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon. Welcome to a special edition of, I know it's Saturday mornings with Joy Keys, but this is a hot, hot, super hot star I had to have on the show. So here we are this afternoon, a special edition of the show. I just want to let you know you can call in 646-929-0368. Again, 646-929-0368 to ask questions. You can follow me on twitter.com/Joy Keys. If you become a fan of the show, just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook and see the new shows coming, giveaways, CDs, movie tickets, concert tickets. I just get away to Les Nubians. They're coming to Philly next week. So you want to stay tuned. You can also email me, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. But right now, people, I mean, like, I just got burned touching the keyboard trying to, like, get more information about the guy. You've probably seen him in a lot of movies. You saw him in Just Right. He was an Avatar. You maybe didn't see him, but you heard him. But right now, he's in the new movie called Jumping the Broom, star actor Laz Alonso. Hi.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on, Poppy? I hear you're bilingual. Tell me something.
Oh, yeah. We got a little bit of Latin going on every now and then. So, you know, si quieres que te hablen,
no
te puedo decir una palabra también que te gusten, quizá.
Yeah, but it sounded good.
Mm-hmm. You said it's a PG-rated show, right?
It's a PG-rated, right, family.
Okay. All right, we're going to keep it clean then. We're going to keep it clean.
Yeah, no, exactly. We're talking about Jumping the Broom and marriage.
That's right.
And unification of, you know, black man, black woman and everything. Now, you were opposite Paula Patton, beautiful, beautiful, talented actress, a wonderful range. You know, we saw her in a more serious role. But now she's just very fun and flirty. And as a guy, how was that? She's so beautiful. Could you restrain yourself?
You know, I'll tell you, it was very, very, you know, intimidating, because Paula Patton in general is just not only beautiful, but she's poised. She has this demeanor about her that she just commands respect. You know, when she walks in the room, you're going to know that Paula has arrived. And she doesn't have to say a word. You know, so
okay.
The first day that Paula and I met, we rehearsed together, and I had never worked with her, never spoken to her or nothing, you know,
okay.
And we had to rehearse the proposal scene. So if you can imagine already, getting down on one knee for a man is not an easy thing. Getting down on one knee before Paula Patton is less easier, and on the first day that you meet the woman, you know a brother was definitely nervous. You know, but over the course of filming the movie, you know, we got along great. I love her work ethic. She's supremely, supremely committed to what she does. And I was just very, very blessed that she was my leading lady in the show.
How did you keep a straight face around Mike Epps and Tasha Smith? I mean, usually Tasha was really calm in the movie this time.
She was.
But I know you said after you were cut, you know, cut came. You guys were doing some silly stuff. What's the silliest thing you guys did off camera?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean,
PG.
There were silly
PG.
Moments. there were silly moments every single day. To try to nail it down to one day is almost impossible, because when you got Mike Epps and D-Ray Davis on set, it's going to be jokes nonstop.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I mean, these two guys. You take, you know, two comedians, two light-skinned comedians. On top of that, you know, they're so similar that they're always trying to outdo each other. I mean, they're duking it out every time they're in the same room with jokes. And it is just hilarious. I mean, they just kept us in stitches, you know. So we had a really, really good time all set. Everybody, it was just laughs nonstop.
I'm going to take a caller here. We got a caller from 803. Good afternoon. Hi, do you have a question? You calling from 803 area code? All right, I guess they hung up. Okay. We're going to keep it moving. Now, how was it playing an Avatar? I mean, that was totally different. You know, they're using your voice, and You know, I mean, that was just a blockbuster film. Crazy. Nobody even knew how big that was going to be. How was that working on that film?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I mean, the whole Avatar thing, you know, a lot of people think that we just voiced over the film, but that was us. We were actually being filmed, and then they took our physical performance, face, body, everything that you saw the characters do, we did it. And then they just turned us blue and turned us into these creatures. But everything that you saw, it wasn't voiceover like you'd see in, like, an animated movie or a cartoon film. This was actually us acting and performing everything out.
So they put a little pop on you, like, to get your body movements?
Yeah,
I've seen that before behind it.
Yeah, we had those suits with the little dots, and then our faces were dotted as well. So we performed. They call this technology performance capture because we actually it captured our performances as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but none of us knew that this film was going to be as big as it was. And when I say none of us, that includes James Cameron. I mean, he told us early on. He said, "Don't expect this movie to be Titanic." You know, he said if we can do close to Titanic, I would be very very happy. He said because Titanic had young high school girls going out 10, 15 times in groups of 20 to go see this film. He's like,
yes.
It's just blue people. We don't have the sci-fi community seeing it a bunch of times, but they're nowhere near as big, you know, as the young teeny bopper audience, and sure enough, we ended up surpassing Titanic, so it was a surprise to all of us.
Well, you worked with some wonderful directors. You also worked with Spike Lee. Talk to us a little bit about how was it working with Spike?
Well, working with Spike, you know, when you work with Spike, you don't necessarily feel like you're an actor filming a movie. You feel like you're an athlete playing for the title of a championship season. You know,
wow.
The same way you see Spike on the sidelines cheering for the Knicks, that's how he is when he's behind the monitor, you know, directing his films. You know, he's very involved. He's very passionate. You know, if he has to yell and scream, he'll yell and scream. If he has to talk to every single department. He's interacting with every department. You know, I mean, the guy is just a very passionate man. And you feel it when you're on set. I mean, he revs you up. You know, you're charged. And when you do well, you know, he's not the kind, he's an old school kind of guy. You know, he's not going to come and pat you on the back and tell you great job. Nah, when you do a good job on a Spike Lee set, he'll just raise his fist up and you bump him, he'll give you a little fist bump. And that's it. Keep it moving. Moving on to the next scene. You know,
well,
so
he's
you
expecting
knew you
greatness
had...
from you.
Sorry?
He's expecting greatness. He's expecting greatness from you. That's the baseline.
Exactly.
Greatness is the baseline with Spike. And then anything above and beyond, maybe you'll get a little more. But the baseline is you come to the set, you be ready, you do your homework. That's what's expected, you know. So let me try another caller last. 617 area code, you have a question?
I do, actually. I just want to say, first of all, good luck with the movie. But I want to know, how's the transition been from going from the world of Wall Street, the urban professional finance, to movies and the focus that it's putting on you right now?
That's a very good question because it did not happen overnight. You know, I mean, this is a process that took 10 years. I always tell people, I built my career brick by brick, roll by roll, film by film. You know, and that was a very gradual transition for me. You know, I didn't get discovered walking down the street and somebody saw me and said, "Hey, we're going to put this guy in a movie." No, I had to slowly but surely, you know, audition for commercials, you know, and land them, and then audition for one line in this film and, you know, a couple lines in this one. And you know, I mean, my first film was Disappearing Acts, where I had one line in that film, and it's the very beginning of the movie. And to this day, you know, people still tell me, "Hey, man, you know, I remember you in Disappearing Acts, and you said," and they tell me the line that I said to Sonali. You know, and for me, I feel like that is the best compliment someone can give me, if they remember I had one line in the movie and they remembered it. I somehow found a way to touch this person. And for me, there were never any small roles. You know, it was all a matter of every single role counted. I need to find a way to make my performance memorable. And, you know, over the course of my career, the roles have gotten bigger and bigger, and the movies have gotten bigger and bigger. But it definitely wasn't something that happened overnight.
Well, you've been in a couple of videos also. Talk to us about working with Toni Braxton. You worked with Aaliyah. How was that? That was your early on.
Yeah, you know, I'm very proud of Toni, you know, not only in her career, but I love to watch the new show, The Braxtons. You know, I think that her whole family dynamic is interesting, you know, so it's good to see someone who I've worked with, you know, very early in my career who believed in me, you know, continue to do her thing. You know, and unfortunately, the Aaliyah video that I worked on, it was after her passing. And it was a tribute that DMX did, a song that DMX did to pay homage to Aaliyah. But all of us that knew her were in that video and were showing love to her. But, you know, when you first get started in this business, you know, you do a lot of different things. You know, you do video, you do independent movies. You know, you just try to get as much experience as possible because every time you're in front of that camera, you know, you're learning and you're getting better.
Right. It's like a rehearsal. I mean, I have a theater background, so the more work you get, the more practice you get in a sense.
Yep.
One of you just right with some wonderful actors. How was that? And Paula Patton was also on that.
Paula Patton was also in Just Right. Yep. Queen Latifah, Common. And for me, that film, you know, it was yet another opportunity for me to star opposite someone who I really respected. Yeah, the role was smaller, but to share the screen with a woman who my entire, you know, career I have always looked up to, which is Queen Latifah, you know, who I consider, you know, a friend, was a great opportunity for me. And it didn't hurt that she called me Denzel in the film either. You know, young Denzel is how much she said. So I'll take that.
Now we're talking about how, you know, what you're called. Well, some of the words that come to mind are sexy, hot, and damn, wow. Ooh, yeah, they were saying all these things last night in Philadelphia in the movie screening.
Is that right? Or what?
How do you deal with the attention from the women? I mean, how do you keep discipline? Or do you keep discipline? I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, I definitely keep discipline, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, how the characters, the responsibility that I feel I have to portray in the characters. You know, I don't believe in portraying just gratuitous characters. You know, if he's going to be evil or bad, you know, I want to at least be able to show why he is who he is and things like that. You know, I really feel like when we are putting a character on screen, we are representing someone out there. You know, so
yes.
If we're going to represent someone, we need to do it responsibly and show that good people do bad things and bad people do good things. You're not just one type of person. You're not just, you know, bad.
No,
we're
multifaceted. I think that it's difficult sometimes. People try to say, well, I never did something or I'll never
right.
do that. But never say
never
because you don't
right.
know. Yeah.
So for me,
so for me,
if, you know, I get kudos and recognition for being either sexy or playing a character that touched somebody or inspired them, for me that's a great compliment. So I just, you know, if that's how people describe me or feel about me, then I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I'm doing something right.
Yeah. Let me ask you a couple fun questions. Do you like to run or walk?
I would say the theme of my life is probably run.
You're always running. Are you a soda man or a juice man?
I am reluctantly a juice man, but I started off as a soda man. I had to put the soda away.
All right. You like peanut butter and jelly or turkey and peas?
Man, I love them both, but I'll always get my PB&J in. You know, I even add a little jalapeno peppers to my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to add a little spice to life. I call it PB&J.
Uh-oh. Let me take another caller here. good afternoon, caller. Calling from 1800. You have a question?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
My question is, it's a statement and a question. I've been to Cuba, and I fell in love with the country and the people, and I wanted to know, as a Cuban-American, if you, Laz, have ever considered telling the normally untold stories of Cubans? like maybe through a documentary.
Yeah, you know, I
thank you for calling
I,
in. Thank you.
Yeah, the whole story is funny because there isn't just one Cuban story. You have Cubans prior to Fidel, and you have Cubans after Fidel. You have Cubans that still live in Cuba. You have Cubans that have immigrated to the United States. So, you know, I have at times considered a documentary or something that will voice the many different experiences and the many different opinions, you know, of Cubans from their different, you know, walks of life, so to speak. You know, my family is here, obviously, because they had to leave. They immigrated, you know. But I have family that's still in Cuba, you know. So those are two totally different stories to tell. And I think that it's something that, in time, you know, we're going to see more and more of as people of Cuba are able to have their voice heard over here in America a little more.
Well, there's so much immigration issues going on and stuff with Arizona. I mean, always through our history in terms of, if you want to call it immigration, of Mexicans coming across the border in California. I mean, Mexicans are most of the workers in the agricultural field in California, strawberry field, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, bending over, picking, and then people are dying on the boats trying to come over from Cuba into Florida, and we as a country, half of us are against it and half are for it, but I think people need to look at why they're against it and that there's actually a support system here, an industrial support system for illegal immigration and treating people with poor living conditions, poor wages, and so on and so forth. So that story is being told, but it definitely needs to continue to be told about the struggles of people coming to America, you know, for a better life, prosperity, and so on and so forth. Thank you so much, caller, for that question. But let's get back to Jump in the Broom. I want to tell people about the website, Jump in the Broom, the movie, jumpinthebroom-movie.com. You can go there and find out the different screenings. It's coming out on May 6th. Yes, Les? May 6th?
Yeah, May 6th, Mother's Day weekend, Jump in the Broom premieres. And it's really important for people to go out opening weekend and support, you know, a movie that, you know, I always compare it to, you know, I'm not Greek, but I loved My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, that's an awesome movie.
You don't have to be, you know, Jewish to appreciate Meet the Fockers and laugh at some of the jokes that they tell that are, you know, very, very community-based, but they're still overall people-based. You know, if you're a human being, you know, who's married into another family, just because you're falling in love with someone doesn't necessarily mean your families are going to fall in love with each other. And when you marry someone, you marry their family as well. You know, so that's the same thing in our story is that, hold on one second, please.
Yeah. Let me just tell people, you can follow Laz on Twitter.com, Laz Official, Twitter.com/Laz Official. He's also on MySpace.com, Laz Lonzo, so if you want to learn more about him. But go ahead, what were you going to say?
Or my Facebook also, it's Facebook.com/Laz Official also.
Okay.
But I was just going to say that, you know, that's the beauty of this film is that everybody is going to laugh at this film and everybody can connect with this film because everybody has that crazy uncle. You know, everybody has that mother-in-law.
The nagging mom, the mother-in-law,
The nagging mom or the over-judgmental mom. And, you know, it's that kind of story where, you know, if you have a family, then you're going to know these people because they're in every family.
Yeah, and Loretta Devine was awesome. Angela Bassett, oh, my God, you do not want to get a look by Angela Bassett. I mean, you would just be frozen still when she looked at you if you did something wrong, you know. And go ahead, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, Angela Bassett is the epitome of beauty. You know, this woman does not need a lens or makeup or any type of the quote-unquote Hollywood isms to be one of the most beautiful women on set. I mean, she just shows up in the morning and sweats and is killing the game.
Watch out. Do I hear a little film crush there, Laz, from you?
it was more film admiration. You know, it was more admiration crush. Like, you know, you look at somebody and you're like, man, I've admired your work for so many years, you know, and here I am working with you. You know, it was more of a surreal moment more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to wish you much success. You have another movie coming out. You said in September, Straw Dogs. We talked about it briefly. And you said you're doing some on A&E?
Yeah, Breakout Kings. It comes on every Sunday night at 10 p.m. on A&E. Yeah.
All right. Well, check out Jump in the Broom. Please support this movie. Wonderful cast. And again, as Laz said, if you have a family, you're getting into a family, you're marrying somebody else, the stories, there are multiple stories in this movie. You want to check them out, you know, from, you know, oh, you're better than now because you got chick, you know, nagging mom, you know, class issues, racial issues, all kinds of stuff. But there's also comedy in there. So you want to check out Jumpin'. Also check out Laz on Facebook, on Twitter, on MySpace. Thank you so much, Laz.
Thank you very much.
On the show this afternoon.
Thank you for having
me. You have a wonderful day, okay?
You too.
All right, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to today's show. I want to, again, encourage May 6th to go and see Jump in the Broom. You don't want to miss it. Angela Bassett, Loretta Devine, Tasha Smith, Mike Epps, Laz Alonso. So many wonderful, talented actors and actresses. You want to check that out. May 6th, jumpinthebroom-movie.com. And also you can follow Laz on Twitter, on Facebook, on MySpace. Check them out, Laz Official. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And you can also send me an email. Just email me SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. If you have any questions, concerns, tune in this coming Saturday, April 16th, Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars, and also speaking with American Humane Society about Child Abuse Prevention Month. Call in number 646-929-0368. I want to thank you so much for listening to the show today and supporting the show. Past 60,000 downloads of the show, and that's all to your support. Again, check me out on twitter.com/joykeys. Become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And send me an email. Tell me how you're feeling. You might also win a prize. I have CDs, books, movie tickets, all kinds of things given away. Just got some more Les Nubian CDs, so stay tuned as for how to win. They're coming to Philly next Thursday at the Kimmel Center, so please stay tuned for that. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. My webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.